Thanks for joining us today. Our church exists to give everyone, everywhere, every reason to know Jesus. You can learn more by connecting with us on Facebook at Journey Fellowship Denton. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
Amen. I want you to take your Bibles. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. I'm continuing in a sermon series that I started last week, a free Christmas. How many of you would love to have a free Christmas this year? I heard that Americans are going to spend about $720 billion on Christmas. How many of you have that in your budget already? No? I haven't bought a gift yet. No, I take that back. I bought one for myself. No, I'm just kidding. It's time. It's that time of year, you know. But I want you to understand that there's something that you can have this Christmas that's not going to cost you a trip to Walmart or to Dillard's or to the mall or whatever shopping store that you prefer. But it can be something that's given to you because the price has already been paid. I want you to look with me in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. The scripture says this, therefore, there is now no condemnation. Can you just say those two words with me? No condemnation. Now, that's pretty pathetic, okay? So y'all came in here this morning, you're cool, you're relaxed, but I need a little bit more fired up than what you are right now, okay? So can we just try that? No condemnation. I have a cold and I can't hear hardly anything right now. So you're going to have to get it past my stopped up ears. Therefore, there is now no... Wait a second. Wait a second. Just relax. Now I got you all going so fast that you just want to get started. Therefore, some of you need to follow instructions. Now come on. Therefore, there is... I'm saying this first. Therefore, there is now
no condemnation.
Man, we got it. We're slow learners, but we can get it. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. How many of you think that's probably one of the best verses there are in Scripture? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because though Christ Jesus... Through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Thank God. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. Jesus came in the likeness of sinful man. He wasn't sinful, but He came as a sinful man. And so He condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. What's He saying? He's saying, if you break man's law, you pay man's consequences. If you break God's law, you pay God's consequences. And the wages of sin is death. Jesus set us free. Verse 4, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. How many of you want life and peace this Christmas? It's through the Spirit of God. The sinful man is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, look at your neighbor and say, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you. That's a qualifying statement. You're controlled by the Spirit if the Spirit lives within you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. What is he saying? If you're not living according to the Spirit, then you don't belong to Christ. It's a really easy test. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Not yours, but the righteousness that Christ has put in you. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Thank God. One more time. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Father, thank you, Lord, for your words this morning. Lord, they inspire us, they refresh us, and they change us. Now, I pray that you would take, Lord, the next few moments for those, Lord, whom you have ordained to be here to hear this message, and those who are listening online. Lord God, that you would set a change, Lord, in their hearts, that today, Lord, that something is going to, the switch will be flipped today, and that, Lord, that they will realize your word that says there is no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I pray this in your name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Last week I talked about being free from offenses. This week I want to talk to you about being free from shame. Now this message may seem a little bit heavy, but I want you to understand that you have to continue to go back to Romans chapter 8 verse 1 that says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. My message this morning is a message that is titled Free from Shame. Free from Shame. You see, people battle shame a lot this time of year. And that's the reason why the Lord, I believe, just brought it to my attention. Because during the holidays, people constantly reflect on the past. They think about past Christmases and past relationships and past situations, past circumstances of their life that cause them to consider their own selves. And shame seems sometimes to cover people's lives. And let me just tell you what shame is. Shame is a soul-crushing, identity-warping emotion that steals your hope and takes away your joy. Shame is something that comes to our lives that is like a heavy blanket that we drag around that we can't seem to throw off of. I want you to understand where shame comes from. You see, there's a difference between guilt and shame. Guilt is when you do something bad. Guilt is, I did bad. Shame is when you say this to yourself, I am bad. There's a difference. Guilt says, I did it. Shame says, I am bad. I am what I did. And shame comes to us, and here's what happens. It connects us with what happened to who we are. Now, I want you to listen, because some of you have dealt with this in your life, and you've dealt with it for a long time. Because you say this, because I did bad, then I am bad. Or because I did something that I was rejected for, now I am nothing. Or I lost my job, I was not good at my job, so I guess I'm not worth the job. I am nothing. I am not qualified enough. Or you say, what I did was so bad, I'm worthless, I'm unlovable. And shame comes upon our life. And we experience that shame. All of us can remember times in our life where we first experienced that emotion of shame. Let me just personally be very transparent and kind of take you through my life. I was 9 years old and I walked into a Piggly Wiggly with my mom. How many of you remember Piggly Wiggly? I walked into Piggly Wiggly with my mom. She did some shopping. We walked through all of the aisles. And as we got to the front, I noticed some candy that was right there at the checkout counter where they put it right where all kids are going to see it, right where the kids just feel like that's just something that they need. I picked it up. I put it on the checkout counter, and my mom says, no, you put that back. We're not going to buy that today. I picked it up off of the checkout counter. I walked back over to where the stand was, and instead of putting it back into the candy box, I put it into my pocket. I stuck that candy in my pocket. I walked outside. I got into the car. And being not the experienced criminal that I was, I got into the back seat and immediately opened the candy. My mom, she looks at me in the rearview mirror and she says, did you steal that candy? Well, of course. What did I do as a 9-year-old? Yeah. No. I'm holding it. She said, you go back in there. She gave me some money. She said, you go back in there and you tell the manager that's standing right there by the door that you stole this and that you want to pay for it. I walked inside the doors, scared to death. I set the candy on the counter that I had already opened. I said, I stole this. And I'll never forget the words that that manager said to me. He said, shame on you. Now, what happened as a 9-year-old is I internalized that shame. Because I thought, well, I did bad. I'm just a kid. And here I am. I am set up for a life of crime. I'll be in prison by the time I'm 12. But I internalized that shame. And I thought to myself, and I'll never forget that day when I got back into the car holding that candy that I had paid for because it was already open. I remember thinking, I did bad. I must be bad. Fast forward to sixth grade. Sixth grade, I'm hanging out with some friends of mine, some buddies down the street. One of my friends, his name was Mark, he said, hey, let's all go in the house. I've got something that my dad has I want to show you guys. So we go inside the house. He goes into his parents' bedroom, and he comes back with the Playboy magazine. He throws it down in front of four or five of us boys, sixth graders. He opens that thing up, and I'll never forget my eyes were open that day. The reality was I looked at that magazine, we left the house, and when I walked through the door as a sixth grader, I opened the door, and my mom looks at me and she says, where have you been? And I immediately thought, oh God, she knows! She already knows! How did she know? The shame that came upon me, the adrenaline rush that was there before was now the hangover of shame. And I just felt this weight, and I thought, man, I'm dirty. I'm not the person that everybody thinks that I really am, and I've done wrong. I must be wrong. There's something wrong with me. Fast forward to high school, trying to live my life as an example for people to follow. Everybody knows, yeah, he's a preacher's kid. Everybody knows, yeah, he's trying to, you know, he's cool, but, you know, he's pretty walking, trying to do straight. We had a big exam in geometry, and I'll never forget, I cheated on that test, and everybody knew it. Everybody knew it. I remember after that test was over with, knowing that I had cheated, thinking to myself, there's no way that I could ever measure up. Nobody's ever going to believe my testimony anymore. When I say something about Jesus, the first thing they're going to say, yeah, well, you're a low-down cheater. You're the one that set the curve on the test that caused me to get a D. Nobody's going to believe me. Fast forward to adulthood. In my life, there's been so many times, even as your pastor, as a pastor, as a missionary, that I have done things that in my own heart, shame covers my life. And I say to myself, shame covers me and makes me believe you're not worthy to be a pastor. You have nothing to say to these people. You're no example. You're no leader. You're no man of God. Look what you have done. And shame just floods over my life. Maybe you're here today and you may be carrying a secret addiction in your life. Something that nobody knows about. And you may look at yourself and shame yourself as just that horrible person that just can't break this secret addiction. Maybe you're here that you have said something to someone. Maybe it was your spouse. Maybe it was something that caused the breakup of the relationship. And you've said, you know, I am just a terrible person. How could I have said something like that? How could I have allowed that to come out of my mouth? Maybe you're here today and you're trying to follow Jesus the best you can, but you've got this secret sin that you just keep holding on to, that you just can't walk away from. Maybe you're watching something. Maybe you're looking at something. Maybe you're seeing someone or talking to someone that you know you shouldn't be talking to, and you just can't break away from that, and you say, you know what, I am a pretty pathetic person to be able to live like this while everybody else thinks that everything is okay. Maybe you've got a sexual past that nobody knows about. Maybe you're kind of got a sketchy history that you think about, and you're sitting there thinking, you know, if these people really knew who I was, or these are church people. I don't belong here. That's shame. That's the blanket of shame. Because what's happened in your life is that you have connected the what with the who. You have internalized it, and you have put words to shame that lays upon your life. Words that describe yourself like this: I am defective. I am damaged goods. I am broken. I am flawed. I'm dirty. I'm ugly. I'm impure. I'm disgusting. I'm unlovable. I'm weak. I'm pitiful. I'm insignificant. I'm worthless. I'm unwanted. Do you feel that? What you feel right now as I describe that, some of you feel that so heavy. Because those are some of the things that you've used to describe yourself. Now, maybe you've not verbalized them to anybody else, but in your mind, you have told yourself that that's who you are. And this time of year, that voice resonates in the hearts of many, many people, because we talk about family, and we talk about love, and we talk about Christmas, and we talk about giving, and we talk about, you know, just peace and all this stuff. But inside your own heart, there is incredible turmoil because of the shame that you have accepted into your life. As I studied this message, I remember a seminary class that I took. It was a class over biblical counseling. And I was reminded of several things that affected people in a situation, what the psychologist would call shame-based thinking. And it has three major impacts on your life. If you're living under that blanket of shame, you'll be able to recognize one of these three. Because one of them is that if you have the shame-based mindset, then you are, number one, vulnerable to perfectionism. What happens is you begin to attempt to silence your shame by trying to have error-free performances in your life. You try to find a place of complete perfection. So you run around trying to do everything that you can in order to try to make up for the shame that you have felt in your life, the mistakes, and you don't accept failures at all anymore because you're so trying to make things right because you're still ashamed of your past. You work overtime on your relationships to the point to where it runs off that relationship because you're trying not to make the same mistakes and you're trying so hard, you're trying to make everything perfect in your life. And because of that shame-based thinking, you continue in this perfectionism idea. Secondly, another major impact is people who have the shame-based thinking are critical of themselves. They become very critical and they make it, which makes them critical of other people. Become judgmental of others. And sometimes because of that, you're perceived as being a little bit arrogant or a little bit self-righteous. You know, you become critical because what happens is you begin to see your faults mirrored in other people. And it affects you. You see your children doing some of the things that you did. So what do? You really come down hard on them and you are very critical. And out of your mouth, instead of trying to build them up and correct them, discipline turns into criticism. And you criticize your children and you criticize your parents or you criticize your boss or you criticize other people because you are criticizing really yourself because you see those mistakes in others. And so what's happened is you have transferred that shame into the criticalness of your heart. Another impact is when you have this shame-based thinking running through your mind is you use self-defeating thoughts as a form of protection or escape. So what you do is when you focus on things that are coming into your life, you think about the worst case possibilities. And what happens is you end up sabotaging opportunities and relationships in your life that would be normal, but instead you sabotage them because you think of the worst case. Well, you know what? I can't get in a relationship with her because, you know, what happened in the past, and it's probably not going to turn out good. It's probably not going to, I mean, look at me. I mean, I'm still a mess. You know, she's probably in the same shape. She probably doesn't think anything. And so what happened? You sabotage your relationship because you're constantly thinking, this is the worst case outcome. There's no way that I'm going to be able to overcome this, because this self-defeating thought just keeps replaying over and over. And this idea of shame-based mindset emerges like a Leviathan during Christmas time. It just comes out of nowhere. I mean, like at Christmas dinner, the mom that lashes out at everybody at the table for no apparent reason, maybe she's dealing with some internal shame because of something that happened in the past. Or dad that goes missing Sunday or on Christmas Day afternoon and goes out into the garage and ends up getting drunk. And maybe he's dealing with that type of thinking in his own life. Or maybe it's the in-laws that are overly critical of how you parent your kids or how you do your house. Maybe it's because they are critical of themselves about how things turned out for them. And so they want to try to criticize you to try to help you not to make their mistakes, but it doesn't come off that way. Maybe it's just that you become hypercritical of others, and we become nitpicky at Christmas time, and we become really hypercritical of ourselves because everything's just got to be perfect. Let me just tell you, that's what shame does. It's like that heavy blanket. It's that feeling that we feel right here in this room. I told you this was a little bit heavy to start off with, because it's that heaviness that we feel because all of us have dealt with that. But let me just describe to you just the next few moments what the Bible says about this. Because today my prayer is that our loving God, that our loving Father would do a deep and would do a very genuine healing work in every heart that's here today, in every person who so desires to be free from that dark and that damaging emotion of shame that has blanketed your life. That's my prayer today. And I just want to tell you, God can free you today. You don't have to wait till next Christmas. You don't have to wait till the 4th of July or next holiday or the next Sunday of messages or the next sermon series. You can be free from that shame today. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 4. The Lord speaks this word to the Israelites. And here's what he says. He says, "Do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame." He's speaking to his people. He said, look, you've got to stop being fearful of this emotion. You've got to overcome this emotion. You will not suffer shame anymore. Do not fear disgrace. Don't worry about what other people are going to think. Don't worry that people might look sideways at you. You will not be humiliated. And then look at this part right here. It says, you will forget the shame of your youth. You will forget the shame of your past, the mistakes that you have made. You will forget those things. The reason why we don't have to live in shame, my friends, is because Jesus, John tells us in 1 John 1:9, he says that because if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You just open up your heart to God and you say, God, here is what is wrong. Here is what I have done. I'm transparent to you, God. If you will just see me, Lord, and he is faithful and he will forgive you and he will wipe that sin away as far as the east is from the west. He buries it in your past, not to be remembered anymore. God doesn't hold it over your head and wait for you to remember it again. God forgets it and it's gone. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Your shame is buried and gone. Should have been a better amen there than that. Thank you. Thank you. Because let me tell you something. If you've got a past, like part of the one that I described, I thank God every day that there is no condemnation hanging over my head. I thank God that when I confessed my sin to Him, that He was faithful and He forgave me and He cleansed me from my unrighteousness. I thank God for His grace. And I hope that you do too. I hope that you can see the power of God's love and His grace, and you don't have to walk underneath that heavy burden of shame anymore. You're not the same person you used to be, friend. You are a different person. You're different. Jesus' grace has walked upon your life and has transformed you. And that's good news, because if you're in Christ, the old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Amen? The question still becomes this. Here's the reality of where many people live. If God is so good and faithful, then why do I still feel and live underneath this shame? Come on, let's be honest. Even though we know the reality, intellectually we know that God forgives, the truth is, we still hold on to that shame. Why don't we embrace the freedom? We talk about it. We sing about it. Oh, we're free in Jesus. You know, thank God we're free. We have victory and stuff. And as we sing the song, we believe it in our mind, but it doesn't internalize itself in our heart. Because here's the reality. Here's the reality. The reality is that though we believe the gospel, it is difficult to discard our shame. It's difficult. It's hard to disconnect, because here's why. Shame, remember, shame is connecting what has happened to who we are. And what has happened over the years or months is that you have intertwined the things that have happened and what you have done into your identity, that it is difficult to disconnect from that. So let me walk you through the scriptures real quickly and just tell you a story of how God frees us from that. In the Old Testament, God's people were in slavery in Egypt. They were in slavery in Egypt for 430 years. 430 years. All that they had ever known was slavery, bondage. That's all they'd ever known. Great-grandpa was a slave. Grandpa was a slave. Dad was a slave. I'm a slave. That's all I am. That's all I am. They identified themselves with what they were. They were born a slave. They were nothing but a slave. They will always be a slave. So their identity became wrapped up in what they had been. Are you with me? So day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, their identity of themselves was that we are slaves. Then along came a man named Moses. And what does he do? He walks into Pharaoh's court and he says, Pharaoh, God says it's time. Let my people go. And what does God do? He performs miraculous actions, and He frees and He disconnects God's people from the bondage that they had been living under. God sets them free. He sets them free. He launches them out of Egypt. They walk through the desert. They get to the Red Sea. God parts the sea. God saves them. He transforms their life. They're not making brick and stomping straw anymore. They are walking and following the pillar of cloud and the fire. They are walking in God's presence. But here's the problem. They had left Egypt, but Egypt had not left them. They were out of slavery, but slavery was not out of them. And today, people right here, this morning, experience the same problem. Because in your mind, you know that you have been forgiven of all of your sin by Christ Jesus. You've confessed your sin. And you know Jesus has been faithful and he has forgiven you and he has removed those things. And while all of that is true, you still have a root of your identity embraced in shame and not in Christ. You still live this shame-based thinking. And it's polluting your heart. And it's stealing your joy. And it's pulling down your victory because you just can't let go and disconnect. Here's the problem. The problem is that you are still believing that you are something that God says you are not. You're believing that you are someone that God says you are not. Are you hearing me, friend? Some of you need to hear that. Some of you know deep down right now, you are dealing with this question in your own life. You've walked through some dark times in your life. Some of those were your fault. And still yet, you have asked God to come and to change you, and He has, but you still are trying to identify yourself as someone that God says you are not any longer. That's not who you are anymore. In my own life, I've had to deal with that identity crisis. I've had to ask God's grace to come and to flood over my soul and to rename me. Not what I called myself, but what does Christ call me? Because see, I want you to catch this truth. The only way to get free from shame is you have to move your focus from what I am not to who Jesus Christ is. You've got to move your focus from what I am not to who Jesus really is. Who is Christ? Because whenever you think you are something bad, quite honestly, you might be telling yourself the truth. If you say, I am bad, well, let me just break your bubble right now. Actually, we all are, right? We're all sinners. We've all broken covenant with God. We have all shamed ourselves in some way or another. We have all committed sin. There's no perfect righteous person in this room. No one would stand up if I asked them, please stand up if you've never committed a sin, if you've never broken a law, if you think that you're perfect. No one would stand up. No one would have the courage to do so. Because if we are bad, we know it. You may say, well, I am inadequate. Well, you know what? Actually, let me just tell you, you probably are. You know why? Because God did not design life to be done by itself. You need me, and I need you. We need each other. You need the person down the row from you. You need the person sitting in front of you. You are not designed to do life all by yourself. You may look at yourself and you say, well, I'm pretty pathetic. Well, I'm not trying to be rude, but some of you kind of are. I mean, you really. I've heard you talk. I've heard you describe some of the things going on in your life. And I'm like, okay, all right. I'm not being rude. I'm just telling you, yeah, that's exactly right. You may be describing, but here's the problem. As long as you're focused on you, you'll never be enough. As long as it's all about you, you will never be enough. But because of Christ, are you hearing me? But because of Christ Jesus, because of Christ Jesus, you can find healing. You can find the help that you need, and you can find the identity that He calls you. I want us to get real and really honest with ourselves this morning. There's a slide, this next slide. It's got a couple of blanks on it. It says, I am not blank. Because of Christ, I am blank. Could you just look at that? And you can put whatever in that first blank that you want to describe yourself. Whatever key word that you have used over and over for you. That you thought of yourself in the private moments. I am not blank. But because of Christ, I am blank. Some examples might be, I am not bad, but because of Christ, I'm forgiven. I'm not sick, but because of Christ, come on, I am healed. I'm not broken. Because of Christ, I have been made new. My old past is gone. I am not Humpty Dumpty shattered all over the ground. He has put me back together. I'm not disgusting. Because of Christ, I am loved. I am not inadequate. Because of Christ in me, He has made me more than enough. More than who I think that I could ever be. More than I think that I could ever want. More than I could ever receive. Because of Christ, I have been changed. Remember those Israelites, 430 years in slavery? They were out of Egypt, but the shame of Egypt was not out of them. I want to show you a scripture that God wrote to them years after they had been freed from slavery. Years after they had been... Years! Are you catching me? Years past that mistake that you made, friend, that you're still dealing with. Years later, after the divorce happened. Years after that conversation that severed the relationship between you and your father or you and your mother. Years after all of that happened. Years after that whole thing of God has set you free, but you're still holding on to that slavery. He writes in Joshua chapter 5, verse 9. He says, the Lord says this to Joshua, to the people. He says, I want you to know that today, the Lord said to Joshua, today, not tomorrow, not next Sunday, not maybe next Christmas, not whenever pastor preaches another sermon that I can really internalize, not may have another altar service, not when Bridget sings and leads us into a powerful worship time. And there's no, today, not tomorrow, today. Tell you, God is calling some of you to free yourself from by His grace from your shame of your past and just detach yourself today. Don't wait anymore. Be free this Christmas. Be free from shame this Christmas. Today, He says, I have rolled away the shame of your slavery in Egypt. Years later, today, you're still dealing with this, Joshua. People are still hanging on to this. They still identify themselves as slaves. They're still victims. They're still those who still have Egypt living within inside them. But today, I'm rolling all of that away from your life. Isn't that great to hear that today God could take some of your lives and He could roll that shame completely out of your life? He's just going to disrobe that from the heavy blanket. Come on, somebody. He's going to roll that away and free you from the shame that you've just been under. It's not qualified. If I'd have been a better parent, if I'd have been a better husband, if I'd have been a better dad, if I'd have done this and done that, and you carry that shame, it's time to be free from that shame. No more shame. When someone tells you, like that store owner looked at me and he said, shame on you. Today God says, shame is off of you. I've rolled it away. No matter what others say about you, no matter what you even think about yourself, the Lord says, I can take your shame and I can make it disappear. Because I want you to know something, my friends, this morning. You are not your past. Listen to me. Listen to me. I'm speaking directly to some of you. You are not your past. You're not your past. You are not what you did. You are not what someone, listen, did to you. You are not what others think you are. You are not even what you think you are. You are who Christ says you are. And that's why you can say words like, I'm forgiven. I'm changed. I'm redeemed. I'm healed. I'm blessed. I'm chosen. I'm complete. I'm accepted. I'm a child of God. And last but not least, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. My prayer today is that you would realize that there is no more condemnation. Christ doesn't condemn you. You can't condemn yourself anymore. Don't be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Don't fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth. Let's bow our head this morning. We conclude our time together today. I just in my heart that I hit home with some of you. I don't think the Word of God returns void. I believe that as I've sought the Lord to find what He wanted this church to hear today, that some of you heard the exact words that you needed to hear. It's time for you to let that go. It's time for you to take that blanket of shame off of your life that has weighed you down. A man came into this church several months ago, and he dealt with this very problem. I walked him through the plan of salvation. I've done that. Have you accepted God's grace in your life? I've done that. You believe Jesus died on the cross? I totally believe. I'm all in with that. But I just feel heavy. I don't know what's wrong with me. And I told him, I said, you're still believing something about yourself that Jesus says is not true anymore. And it's time for you to make a change. My prayer for you today is that if there's those here and you've walked under that weight of shame in your life, that you're going to be set free this morning from that. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to do something as a step, as an act of faith, to say, today I'm walking away from something. As we stand, and as Bridget and Leslie play this song, I'm going to ask as we stand, if this message has really hit home to you and you think today is my day, this Christmas is going to be a new Christmas. What I want you to imagine in your mind is that you're going to walk to this altar area with that shame that you have tried to carry on with. You've been forgiven, you've been free, but you have allowed that condemnation to continue to take root in your identity. I want you to move forward. And I just want you to come to this altar area, and I just want you to lift your hands just as a sign of, Lord, I'm releasing this to you. And you're going to raise your hands. And as you do, I just want you to give all of that to the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you were blessed by this ministry, we want to encourage you to share it. And if you don't have a church home, come join us any Sunday at 10:30.